Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Beis. We begin four lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the theme of the previous two Mishnayos, which began our perek, which was talking about the Malacha of Kosher Matter, tying a knot and untying a knot. And we said there's three different categories. There are those which are totally Aser, and they're going to be Chayv for Chatos if you do that. Those are things which are Kesher Shal Kiyama. They are not that last forever. Then there's a middle category of things that are there, they're similar in somewhat of a fashion, that sometimes they're left there for a week or 2 weeks or a month. That is going to be pater, you're exempt, because it's not a kesher shel kiyama, aval asur, but it's asur l'ketchila midrabanan, and it's asur because it seems similar to a kesher shel kiyama. And then those are the categories that we're discussing now in today's daf, which are things which are open every single day. It's not a knot that's there to stay at all. And therefore, there's no problem of making a kesher, as we learned from the Mishkan by the Urias, when they would have a hole and they would tie a knot of the threads that had opened up. There it was meant to stay there forever. And that's the only knot that you chayv for a chatzis, which is asur to do on Shabbos. So our Mishnah continues. From the first cases which we spoke about in our Mishnah, that is mutter l'katchila, is miftach chalukah, is the opening of the woman's shirt. And that is because the woman has different straps, one on the right shoulder, one on the left shoulder, and she would tie the right one to the left side and the left one onto the right shoulder, and that would be something that she opens up every single day when she goes to sleep. And therefore the Gemara asks, pshit, it's obvious it's not going to be a kesher shel kiyama because it's something that a woman, again, opens every single day. So why would we think to say that you're going to be, it's mutter l'katchila? Obviously, you're not doing any knot of kayama that's dear to last. So the Gemara says, loy tzricha, the islay trei dashi. It was necessary to say this as a chiddush, to say that it is mutter, that it is permissible, in a case when there's two openings. That is, these are the two straps that we spoke about, that one is on top and one is on the bottom. One is on the right side and one is on the left side. And that is that if she wouldn't open up only one of them, she would still be able to slip off her shirt and to put it on, although with difficulty, but she could just undo one of them. And therefore, ma'u detei mechadim inai betulim avtal. So therefore, I would have thought that one of the straps, she does leave like that. She's mevatlet, and that knot that she does on one of the shoulders should be an eternal strap. It's a kesher shel kiyama. And since we don't know which one, so therefore both of them should be asur, because she could just slide off her shirt now. You know, why tie and untie it every single day? She could squeeze it off by just opening up one of them. And now since one of them is going to be a kesher shel kiyama, we don't know which one, so therefore it should be asur to do it on Shabbos. Kamash Mulan, that's what we're saying, that generally people, when they tie these knots on the shirts, they open up both of them and they're not lazy just to slip it and slide it off. And therefore it's not going to be asur, and therefore it's even mutter l'ketchila to do on Shabbos. Similarly, next case that a Mishnah spoke about was v'chutei svacha, that the strings of a hat. Switching more again, as pshit is obvious because every single day you untie the strap and then you put the hat on and you take it off. So what's the havamina to say that it would be asur to say that, oh no, it is mutter l'ketchila? Another Gemara says, loy tzricha d'revichila. It is necessary to say it as a chiddush in a case where it's wide. That is, there's a lot of space that she didn't squeeze it on tight onto her head. Rather, she knotted it with that there was still room, that she could slide it off her head when it's still knotted. Ma de tema mishlev shafla. I would have thought that she slides it off, she'll slip it off her head. And therefore, the knot that she made is a kesher shel kiyama. It's there to stay because she could just slide it up. Kamash Mulan, the isha chasal sa'ara. What the chiddush of a mission is telling us that no, it's even mutter l'ketchila to do. Why not? Why isn't it possible to be a kesher shel kiyama that the woman just slide it off? Because a woman is concerned about her hair. That if she's going to try to squeeze it off her head by not opening up the knot, maybe some of her hair is going to come off with that. Umishra sharile. And therefore, she will untie it. She's not going to just try to squeeze it off her head, because then she's concerned it might ruin her hair. And that's why we're saying that it's even mutter l'ketchila. There's no way a woman's going to keep it on with the knot not undone and try to slide off her head. And Rashi tells us, similarly regarding the other case of a Mishnah, regarding a girdle, that you could also say that type of a situation of the Chiddush, that I would have thought that she's just going to try to squeeze it, pull it off her leg, that the girdle is a wide belt that a woman has around her waist, and it has straps to hold it on over there, and then she'll just pull it off that way. And that also, you could say that the Kamash Mulan was that a woman wouldn't do that because of tznias, she's going to undo it and then take it off. Again, similar to the two cases we spoke about of the straps of a hat and the openings of these straps that are by the opening of her shirt. So our Gemara continues discussing on Mishnah that we're speaking about the cases that are mutter l'ketchila to do of tying and untying them because they're not meant to stay there forever. Our ritzuas min l'basandal, the straps, the strings of the shoes and sandals. So the Gemara brings what seems to be a contradiction. Itmar, we learned. Hita ritzuas min l'basandal. We learned that if a person unties the straps of a shoe and a sandal, So Tanei Chada Chayev Chatas. We learned in one brisa that you're liable for Karban Chatas. V'tan Yidach Pater V'lasa. Yet we learned in the second brisa that it's Pater, you're exempt from Chatas, but it is also L'Ketchil to do. V'tan Yidach Mut L'Ketchil. Yet in the third brisa we learned that it's Mutter even L'Ketchil to do, permissible even initially. So Kasha Minla Minl, Kasha Sandal. We have a three-week contradiction on both shoes and on sandals. If you're Chayev Chatas, or is it Pater V'lasa, or is it Mutter L'Ketchil? Now the Gemara addresses first Minla Minl Loi Kasha. It's not a difficulty regarding the cases of the shoes, because we can resolve each brisa is talking about a different case. Hadik Tani Chayev Chatas, the brisa that says that you're liable for chatas if you untie the shoelace, the laces, the strap of the shoes, that is talking about the ushkefi. That's talking about the knot of the shoemakers, where that is that the shoemaker makes a knot that he sticks the strap into the shoe when he's making the initial shoe, and he makes a knot inside of it. That it should never be undone, because or else the shoelace will come out of the shoe. That stays there forever. That's a kesher shakuyama. That's why for that case you're going to be chayev chatas. The one that says potel avalasa, the brayse that says that you're exempt, but it is asam midrabanan. That is midrabanan. That's the shoes of the rabbis. That is when they would tie their shoelaces around their foot. They wouldn't do it too tight, because sometimes they would take it off when it's still knotted, and they would put it on when it's still knotted also. In other words, like slip-ons, they don't want to have to tie it and untie it, because possibly when they untie it, they have to then wash their hands, and they're always involved in learning. However, it's not a kesher shakyam, it's not an eternal knot to say that it's going to be even chayev achatas, because at the winter time when it's muddy, they want to undo the knot and then tie it very tight so that their shoes shouldn't get stuck in the mud and it's going to fall off their foot. So sometimes they do want to undo it and make it tighter so that it shouldn't be this loose knot, because then it's going to fall off their shoe. So therefore, it's that middle gather up that it's potter, because it's not a kesher shakyam, but it's still usher, because it still has similarities to a kesher shakyam, because they leave it there for a long time until it gets to the winter months when they really have to make it tight. The Braisa that says mutter l'ketchil, it's even permissible initially. That's b'bnei mechuza. That's talking about from the people of mechuza, which they have a very broad-hearted people, which means to say that they're very delicate and they're very careful about their clothing and their shoes. That it should be exactly so, and therefore they tie on their shoelaces very tight. And those type of shoes, you can't take it off at night without undoing the knot, because it's on too tight. So therefore, for those type of people, it's even mutter l'ketchil to undo that knot, because that was never meant to stay even for more than one day. So therefore, it's not even similar in any form of manner to a kesher shakyama. So that is mutter even l'ketchil. That resolves the contradiction of the three brises regarding shoes. Sandla sandla kashem, regarding sandals, is also not a difficulty, because hadik tani chayev chatas, the brise that says you're liable for chatas for untying the laces of a sandal, that's by the tie. That's talking about by Arabs, that's the sandals of Arabian merchants. The kachi ushkafi, that they tie their knots, the knots of shoemakers. That shoemakers tie for them their straps very tight, and therefore that's something that's there to stay forever. That's your chayev chatas for. The brise says potabal asa, that you're exempt, but is asa liketchila. That's by the chamarti the kachri inhum. That's talking about the knots that they themselves make. That is, these are the sandals of other people, not of the Arabian merchants, where they don't have it strapped on through a professional. Rather, they tie it on themselves with a regular knot, and they tie it and they untie it, because sometimes it lasts a week, and sometimes it lasts a month. That again is somewhere in the middle type of a ground, which is it's not a kesher shakayama, so it's you're going to be a potter, but it's still usher, because it's there to stay for a long period of time. The brayse says mutter l'ketchila, it's even initially permissible. There's no problem at all. The sandal denafki bo beitre. It's talking about a sandal that two people use to go out, and each one needs to tie it according to the size of his foot. Someone has a bigger foot, someone has a smaller foot, and therefore every single day they're tying it and untying it, because everyone has a different size foot, and therefore it's not there to stay, even for a small amount of time. As the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, achud Rav Sila Chasida, as was the case where Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of Rav Sala, the pious one, he had this pair of sandals. Zimnan denafik be'ihu, sometimes he went out with them into the street. Zimnan nafik be'inuka, sometimes his child went out with it. That this was something that they had to keep on changing the straps because of the different sizes of the people that were wearing these sandals. Came in from the babaya. Amalek Ahai Gav Namai says, in such a type of a sandal as this one that I want to undo the knot right now and then have my son put on his foot and then he could knot it. And this was told about on Shabbos. So he says, what is the halacha regarding untying this knot and then having my son put it on and him to tie it? So Amalek Chayev Chatzis says, you're liable for Chatzis. You can't open up a knot and make a knot on Shabbos. So Amalek, so he said to him, Hashta Patra Avalasir Kakashi Li. I had a difficulty with even understanding if it's going to be exempt, but also l'katchila. That is, I wouldn't understand why it would be even aser. And chayev chatas kamerli, and you're telling me not only that it would be aser l'katchila, but I would even be liable l'chatas for opening this? So Abaye told him, my time, what is the reason that you're bothered by this? What do you mean? It's a knot. You can't undo a knot and tie a knot on Shabbos. So Amalei says, Mishum de b'chol nam, because even during the weekday, I undo it every day, and then my child ties it every day for his own foot, which is smaller. And that is Zimna Nafik Nebeano. Sometimes I go out with the shoe, Zimna Nafik Beyanuka. Sometimes my child goes out with the shoe. So therefore, how could it be Chayav Echad? It's not a Kesher Shakayam. I didn't tie that it should last forever. He says, oh, that's the case? Yes, then it's even permissible, even like a chila, there's no problem at all. You could undo it and have your child go ahead and knot it himself. And that is, originally he had thought that it wasn't his custom to do this. And this was the knot of the shoemakers, which is something that is, it's kavua, it's something that's there to stay forever. That's why he says chai v'chatas. When he heard that it's talking about this case, where it's for two different types of people that use the same shoe, then of course it's not even the ketchila, because they have to constantly open and close it to change the sizes. So the Gemara brings a story related to the sugya of sandalim, of the straps of the sandals. Rabbi Yirmiyah have a ka'ozel ba'astrede ravo b'kamlis. Rabbi Yirmiyah was going behind Rabbi Avo in a Karmelis, which is an intermediate domain. It's not a Rosh Hashanah, but it's not a Rosh Hashanah, and it has the stringencies and the leniencies of both. If Sigrid sued the sandali, so the strap of his sandal, of Rabbi Yirmiyah's sandal, ripped off, and the sandal fell off his foot. And the reason is because the strap is what holds the sandal on the person's foot, because the sandal is open on the top, and the sides of the sandal are made out of wood or out of hard boiled leather. And the straps are tied on top of the foot, and that's what holds it onto the foot. So now that the strap ripped, so now it fell off the foot, and it's there on the floor. So Amalei, my nevertheless. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Avo, so what should I do with this shoe? Here it is on the floor in the Karmelis, in the open area. Now, it's not on my foot anymore, so what should I do? So Amalei, shakel gemi lachs. He says, take a moist reed, the chazi l'maycha behema, that's fit for an animal to eat, so therefore it's fit to move around. It's not mukta because it's animal fodder, and for your animal you're allowed to feed it. V'karach iluye, and then wrap that moist reed around in the place of where the strap was, and therefore you can tie it on until you can go into your house, and then you'll have it in your house. You won't have to leave it out here in the street. Similarly, the Gemara brings a similar story. Abaye have a koi kamed Rav Yosef. Abaye was in front of Rav Yosef in a chatzir, in a courtyard. If sikle ritsua, and his strap ripped. So Amalei, my Evelei. So he says, Rav Yosef, what could I do? Here it is, my shoe's on the floor. What do I do about it? Amalei Shavke says, leave it over here. Leave it where it fell off, and you can't take it with your hand to go ahead and hide it. So the question was, Maishna b'de b'yirmiyah, why is this different than the case of b'yirmiyah, where Rabbi Avo permitted him to go ahead and tie it with a moist reed? Why do you tell me here to leave it on the floor? Why can't I use a moist reed? So the Gemara says, Hasim over there was talking about in a Karmelis. For example, like in a big, in an open valley, an open field. Loy Minter, where there it's not protected, it's not watched at all, it's out in the open, in the street. And therefore, they were more lenient regarding the halacha of mukta to take the moist reed. Hacha Minter, but over here in the courtyard where it's watched, it is protected. So therefore, in that type of case, we didn't allow the person to go ahead and be involved in this shoe, to go ahead and take the moist reed. We weren't lenient regarding the halachas of mukta, regarding the shoe and the moist reed. You leave it where it is, it's protected. There's no reason why we should do any leniencies. Whereas over there, it was talking about in a Karmelis, which was in a more open area, which is not protected. Still, Abaye asked, Vamanahu, but it's still a kli, it's still a vessel. In other words, why would it be usher to move this shoe? It still has a halachic status of a shoe on it, and the shoe is mutter to move. So therefore, if it's in the courtyard where you can carry, it's no problem regarding that. So why can't I go ahead and pick it up and put it into my house? As Abaye says, the ibeina hafichnu lemi minlis mo. Because if I want, I could switch the shoe from my right foot to my left foot. And that is, the sandal has two strap holders, and they're made out of leather. And it's the place of where the straps are held in where it is. One on the outside of the sandal, and one on the inside of the sandal, which is between the 2 feet. Similar to Rashi says, as the shoes which were in his days. And when the middle strap gets undone, so then it's still fit to fix that strap. And even though it's obvious in the place where you're fixing the strap and it's a little not so pretty, but since it's in the inside of the sandal, it's not seen, it's not visible. However, when the outside strap rips, so that's not fit anymore to fix it, because it's going to be, it's like, you know, it's strapped up and it's all fixed, and it doesn't look befitting to walk out in the street. So there's a big difference between if the inside strap rips where the strap holder is, or on the outside. And the case of Abaye was the outside strap holder that ripped. And there Rabbi Yisrael said, it's usher even to move the shoe, because once the outside rips, there's no way you're going to fix it, and therefore it's not a shoe anymore. On that, Abaye is responding, but it's still considered a vessel, it's still a shoe, and therefore it should not have the halachic status of mukta, because I could go ahead and take this shoe and move it to the other foot, and what was before the outside is now the inside. So therefore, if I take it from the right foot, which has the outside part, you move that to the left foot, now that outside is going to be on the inside of the left foot. And therefore, it should still be considered a shoe. So why is it mukta? Why tell me I can't move it? I have to leave it where it is. So Amalei, Rabbi Yisrael responded, and though that sounds like a good chap, but the Matarat Rabbi Yochanan, the leader of Rabbi Yehuda, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan interpreted and came to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, as we're going to see in one moment, Shema Menah, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, obviously Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, and that he says that once the outside strap rips, it's not considered clean anymore, it's not a shoe, and therefore it's going to have the Halacha of Mukta, and you can't touch it anymore. Towards the Gemara says, Mahi, what is this that you said Rabbi Yochanan comes to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which means he's obviously going the extra mile because that is the opinion that's halacha l'maisa, and therefore once the outside strap rips, in spite of the fact that you could change it to the other foot, it's still going to be mukta. So the Gemara says, D'tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, sandal shenifsiku shtei asna, regarding a sandal that the two ears of the sandal rip, and that is the ears are things which are sticking out towards the top part of the foot, that you hold on to these things when you're coming to tie your shoe. So those ears that stick out, similar to like people put on the ice skates, you have the thing that you pull it up with, those are the ears of the sandals. Or if the two strap holders, this is the place where the straps get placed into the sandal, if those strap holders, both of them ripped, or if the entire sole of the sandal came off, tahar, then the sandal is pure. And that is because no one fixed it anymore. If both ears or if both strap holders or the entire sole came off, no one's going to fix it anymore. And therefore, it's not considered a shoe anymore. And therefore, it's tahar from the tumah that it had. And even if you're going to fix it, it's still a whole renewal of the sandal. And therefore, the old sandal is like it's not here anymore. Once you take off the sandal, it's not a shoe, the sole. And even if you put back a new sole, if you put in two ears, it's like a whole new shoe. And therefore, it's going to start again now to be a shoe. But the old tumah that was on the old shoe is not going to be there anymore. It's going to be tahar. However, the Braisa says, achas mi aznav, if one of the ears tore off, or achas mi tersi yosef, or one of the two strap holders tore off, or if only the majority of the soul came off, then tamei, then it is still there, the ritual impurity that's there is still there, and that didn't go, the tumah didn't leave itself, because it's still considered a kli, it's still a shoe, and that's even if the outside got torn off, because if you want, as the throw we said before, you could take from the right foot to the left foot, and then it comes out what was on the outside is on the inside, so therefore even if one of the strap holders, which was on the outside, which should make it not a shoe anymore because no one's going to fix that part anymore, because it doesn't look nice when you just go ahead and sew it up. So therefore, that's still going to be tummy because you can move it to the other foot, the Tanna Kamma says, and that will be now on the inside, and that no one sees, so that you will fix. However, Rabbi Yehuda argues, and he says, Nifsikot Pnim is tummy. You're right. If one of the two strap holders, if it's the one on the inside, then it's still going to be tummy, as we said, because then you'll fix it because no one really sees that part. So it's not so, unpretty or something to wear. But if the outside one, that's the one that ripped, then it's going to be tar, because once that rips, no one's fixing that because it looks disgusting, and therefore it's going to be pure. So that was the machloikis. And we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And then Ula said, and some say it was Rabbi Bachana said, but they said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, that kemachlekes linya tumah, that just like this machlekes that the Braisa brings down regarding the halachic status of tumah, if it's a shoe or not, depending if the outside strap ripped, to say if it's a shoe or not, that it will retain its tumah or not. So too, there's the same machlokes regarding the halachas of Shabbos, that if we say that the outside strap ripped, do we say if only one of them did, but it's the outside one, do we say that it's not a shoe anymore and therefore it's mukta, or do we say that it's still a shoe because you can move it to the other foot? But however, there is no argument regarding the halacha of chalitza if regarding its status of being a shoe, because it has to be a na'al, that you have to take off the na'al, the shoe from the brother of the person that passed away, of the woman that didn't have any children, you have to take off his shoe, so it has to be a na'al. However, there is no machlokes. And we asked regarding this statement of Rabbi Yechanan, that he said regarding this machloikas of tumah, the same would apply regarding Shabbos, but now regarding chalitza, regarding taking off of the shoe. So we asked Rabbi Yechanan, who is Rabbi Yechanan coming to explain from these tanoim that he's coming to say that what he held regarding Tumah, he'll hold the same thing regarding the movement of Shabbos, regarding the halacha status of Muktzah. But regarding Chalitza, this man da'amah will agree to the one that he argued with, that here I agree with you, that it will be not like I said, regarding if it's a shua, not, but rather as you said. So the Gemara elaborates. If you say the Rabbi Yochanan is coming to explain the opinion of the Rabbanon, and that is, just like regarding the halacha of tumah we learned in the Braisa, that the Rabbanon say that we consider the shoe, the sandal, still as a sandal, as a shoe, even once the outside strap rips, because then you can move it to the left foot. And so therefore it still will retain its old tumah, and that is l'inyan Shabbos nami manahava, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan is coming to say, that regarding the halachic status of Shabbos, it will also be considered a shoe, and therefore it's not going to be muktzah. Avaloy l'chalitza, however, but not regarding chalitza, that is by chalitza d'lav manhu, that they were going to say that it's not considered a shoe, it's not a sandal, and therefore it won't be kosher for chalitza, which requires a sandal. Because that's what it would be saying if you're going in the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. But vatna, but learn the Mishnah Yevamis, chalitza shel smol b'yamin. If you took off the left shoe from the right foot, and that is you did chalitza with the right foot. However, if you had tied on the left sandal on the right foot, so we say chalitza sekshera. There the chalitza is kasha, and therefore, if the outside strap of the left sandal tore off, why are we saying that's not going to be kosher for chalitza? Since generally, it is a sandal. And we said that it's kosher if it's used on the right foot, because now since you could go ahead, we say generally, let's say regarding the loch of tumah, regarding Shabbos, we say it's always considered a sandal, even if the outside strap tore off. Now you could go ahead and move that to the other foot, as we said. So here also, where it's still fit to use for the other foot, why are we going to say that Rabbanan would agree regarding chalitza? That although we say regarding Shabbos and regarding tumah, that if the outside strap tore off, l'chare, it's not fit to be used as sandal anymore because no one's going to fix it because it's disgusting. But they said it's still considered shoe because you can move it to the other foot and therefore now it will be on the inside. So why regarding chalitza do we say that it won't be? We say that you could take the left shoe and put it on the right foot and it'll still be a kosher chalitza. Now here also, where the outside strap rips off, you can move it to the other foot and now it'll be on the inside. So it should be just like Shabbos and Tumah, that is still going to be considered a shoe and therefore fit for chalitza. So why would Rabbanan be saying that by chalitza it's not considered a shoe? So that can't be the understanding of who Rabbi Yochanan is going in. Ve'el ali, but Rabbi Yehuda, so obviously that Rabbi Yochanan was coming to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda as follows. That midlinyan tumah lav manhu, that from the fact that regarding the halacha of tumah, Rabbi Yehuda considers the shoe once the outside strap rips not as a kli anymore, not as a sandal. Le'inyan Shabbos nami lav manhu, and so too regarding the halacha of Shabbos, once the outside strap rips, it's not considered a sandal, and therefore it's muktzah. Avaloy lechalitza, but not regarding chalitza. That is the manhu, where there he will consider the sandal as a shoe, even if the outside strap rips. That there he's going to agree to the rabbanon that it's going to be a sandal. And what's he coming to say? That he's coming to say the chiddush and Rabbi Yehuda, that there it is a sandal, that even if the outside strap rips, because yeah, you can go ahead and switch it to the right foot and then do chalitza on that one, as we learned in the Mishnah, that if you use the left sandal on the right foot, it's going to be a kosher chalitza. However, that's difficult, because Eimer da'amrinan chalitza shel smol b'yamin chalitza sekshei. When did we say that if you're going to remove the left sandal from the right foot, that even though you did with the wrong shoe on the wrong foot, that it's going to be kosher? Where that's talking about a case where the strap wasn't torn. You're using a full-fledged left sandal on the right foot. That is heichad de la milsei. That's only that way for its own purpose. That is for the foot that it's normally used for. That it's manahu, that it is considered a shoe. So it's a full-fledged left shoe, left sandal, but on the right foot. And therefore we're saying that even if you use it on the wrong foot, it's still going to be kosher. However, how can you prove to the case over here where the strap tore? But here, for its own purpose, it's not considered a sandal, because we find Rabbi Yehuda regarding Tumah and Shabbos, once the outside strap rips, he does not consider it a sandal. So how are you going to say that from the fact that you're going to move it to the other foot, that now it's going to be on the inside and not on the outside of the strap, and therefore on the inside you say that's still considered a shoe, because you won't mind fixing on the inside because no one sees. So therefore by Chalitza saying Rabbi Yehuda agrees that, oh, we find you could use this left sandal on the right foot. So here also you'll use the left sandal which tore on the outside on the right foot, which will now be on the inside, but that's not true. It's not this. It's not comparable, because using the left, when we said that in halacha of the Tanoim, that moving the left sandal onto right foot, that's kosher, because it's the full-fledged left sandal. It's that where it's originally from, it's fit to be used on the left foot. Here, the left sandal is not fit to be used on the left foot, because here on the left foot, it's the outside strap that ripped, and that's not a considered kli, as we find by Tumat Shabbos. So how could something which is not fit for its own purpose be good for something that's not even its own purpose? It's for the other foot, because now it's on the inside. There wouldn't make sense to say that it's going to be kosher. So therefore, how could we say that it's going to be kosher for chalitza and say that Rabbi Yochanan was coming to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? The Omer Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says, Nifsaka hachitza in tar, if the outside strap rips, it's going to be tar. So Amalav manu, so obviously he considers it not a manu. So the question is, how is it going to be kosher for chalitza if it's not a manu? So David the Gemara says, Lo'oilam alibid Rabbi Yehuda. Now in truth, Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why we say that we're proving that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why Rabbi Yosef didn't allow a buyer to go ahead and touch the shoe, because once the outside strap rips, it's considered muktzah. However, Eima vechein lechalitza, you have to be gerus, you have to read the words that not that he above a loy lechalitza, but rather, and so too applies to chalitza, to the taking off the shoe of the yavam, of the one that's doing chalitza. And what's the chiddush of that? If he says for Shabbos and Tumah that it's not considered a shoe, so why do we have to say that the same thing applies to chalitza? And that is to tell us to bavarn to come to exclude for what we just said. Because when did we say that removing doing chalitza of the left shoe on the right foot that that will be a kosher chalitza? That's heicham. We continue on to kufyud beis amud beis. That's only if for its own purpose it was a shoe. So a full-fledged left sandal on the right foot will be kosher. But here, where for its own purpose, for its own foot, the left foot, it's not a kosher sandal, that once the outside strap rips, he doesn't hold it as far that you can move it to the other foot. So therefore, in this case, that's what I have to say, that also for chalitza, it's not going to be a kosher shoe, and therefore you can't do chalitza with it. And again, that's what we said, that Rav Yosef was bringing the raya from Rabbi Yechanan to tell Rabbi that the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, that once the outside strap rips, it's muktzah. However, the Gemara asks on this. Is it true that Rabbi Yochanan said, as Rabbi Yosef is trying to prove the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's not a kli once the outside strap rips? But this is something the Gemara asks in many places. Rabbi Yochanan holds halacha is like a stam mishnah, a mishnah without a specific author. And we said halacha is always like such a mishnah. If it's not, yet we learned the mishnah in Kalim without a specific author that says sandal shenifzika achas mi'oznav, if there's a sandal that had one of the ears of it that tore. V'tikna, and then the person then fixed it. The tummy midras, it still has the tummy of midras, which is when the zav has his weight that he's pushing down in the object, it becomes the tummy of midras, which has his weight that was pushed down in it. That it once the if one ear tore, it's not going to be tahar from its tummy, because it still retains the status of avatum, because it's still a full-fledged sandal, even if one of them tore. So my lav, so the Gemara is inferring from the fact that it didn't say which one of the ears tore, that the Mishnah without an author that says that if one of them tore, it's still going to be kosher, doesn't say which one, which would be that even if the inside ear or the outside ear tore, that it's still going to be tamei, it's still going to retain the status of a shoe. And that is, even if the outside tore, it's still going to be tamei. And that the reason is, as we said before, because you could go ahead and move it to the other shoe and fix it, which is like the opinion of the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Yehuda. So how can we say Rabbi Yochanan says halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Well, here we have a stam mishnah that says lachar like drabanan, which is that even if the inside or the outside one is the one that tore, and it's still going to retain the status of a sandal and still be tamei, which is not like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that once the outside one tore, it's going to be tar. And that the Gemara says loy pinimis dafka, no, it's dafka, it's specifically talking about the inside ear. But if it was the outside ear that tore, then it's going to be tar. Although it doesn't specify, it is a reference to the inside one, but the outside one would be tar. On that, the Gemara asks, if that's the way you're establishing the pshat in the Mishnah, that's talking about only the inside ear, but the outside one would be tar, even if just that one tore, at the tani nifseka shniya v'tikna tar min amidras. But then the fact from that, the Mishnah then later goes on and explains. But however, if then the second ear tore, and then that one was fixed, that it's going to be tar for medris. And that is that even if you went ahead and you fixed the first ear, it's going to be tar from medris. And that since both of them tore, it's going to be bottled from the halachic status of a shoe. Avo tamei maga medris, but it's still going to have the tamei of touching a medris. And that is, it becomes a rishon l'tumah. And that is, when it's considered a medris, it's an avatumah. It gets the same halachic status of the zav. However, we say that in spite of the fact that you're going to fix it, but if both of them tore, then we say that it was not a shoe anymore. And therefore, even if you fixed it, it's a new shoe, and it's not going to have the tumah of the medrash itself. However, it still will have the tumah of touching a medrash, which is a lower status, which is, goes one down. When it touches the medrash, it goes and communicates it to a lower of a rishon tumah. And that is because it's still a kli, that it's still fit to be used as a sandal, because you had fixed the first one, and then you had the second one tore, so it was always considered a shoe. And that is, even for medrash, it's fit to be susceptible to. That if now, if the zav would tie, it would tie this and use it as a shoe, it would become tamei medrash. However, the original tamei of medrash that it had, from that it was purified from, as the Gemara later is going to say, because panim chadashos ba'olakan, it's a new shoe. And the entire shoe that it was on, that had when it was makabel tumah, that already went away because it lost its status when it lost both ears. But however, since it is a vessel, it's still a usable sandal. So it is a rishon because it touched itself when it was a avat tumah. It was touching itself. It was connected to itself. And as long as it's still a vessel, it's fit to be makabel tumah. So therefore, it's not tahar from the tumah of maga of that it was touched. It touched itself when there was a medrash. So although it loses that medrash, but it has the fact that it touched itself when it was a medrash. So it's a rishon tumah, not an avat tumah. So the Gemara's question is as follows: Niflig bidida. It should differentiate in the case itself. In other words, why do I need to say a case that, yes, if it only has one ear that tore, so then it's still going to be a tumah medrash, it's going to be an avat tumah, because it's still a sandal, though part of it tore. However, then we say, but if both of them tore, oh, so then it's not going to be a medrash anymore, because it lost the status of the old shoe that it was. It's still, however, a maga medrash, it still touched itself, so therefore it's a reach on the tumah, but it's not an avat tumah once both tore. So the question is, why do we have to say the case of when both of them tore? But obviously, when we're saying both, we mean the second one, that's the outer one, because the ratio is talking about, as we just established, that it was talking about the inside one. And because of the second, the outside one itself, it should have said that it's tahar fam medrash, and I don't have to say both, as the Gemara says. We should have said as follows: when did we say in the Reisha that it's still going to be tamei? That's shenifsek panimis. That's only if the one that we said that tore was the inside one. Avachitzayna tar, but if only the outside one tore, then even though it's one, it should still be tar. Because as we're explaining, it's going according to Yehuda. And Yehuda says that if the outside one alone is the one that tore, it is tar. So why do we have to say then in the Mishnah over there, if we're trying to establish as a Yehuda, that when the Reisha said that if one tore, it's only the inside one, and then we say, but if both of them tore, then it's going to totally be removed from the Tameh of Medrash. Not true. You don't have to say both. Even if only the outside one tore, it's still going to be tar from Medrash, because that is the opinion of Yehuda, and that's who you're trying to say the Tana is like. So now the Gemara says, Amar Yitzchak ben Yosef, Tehei Mishnah Seinu. We should establish the Pshat in our Mishnah, that one over there regarding Medrash, that we said that Dafka, it was talking about that if both of them tore, then it's going to be Tar, which we asked, why does it have to be both of them? It's enough, even just the one of the outside Tar. Must be talking about a case, B'sanel sheyesh lo arba aznayim v'arba tesa yisim. It has to be talking about that there's four ears and four strap holders. And therefore, this that we say that when both of them tore, we're talking about both of the outside ones. And that's as we're trying to establish that Stam Mishnah was talking about like a Yehuda. And that is since now the outside ones tore, that's why that it's tar. And of course, yes, if only the outside ones, even if the inside ones would still be there, it would be tar. It would not be considered sandal anymore. So then why do I have to say both? Just say just the outside. It's because we're talking about four straps, two on the inside, two on the outside. And that's why we're saying that both of them is a reference to both on the outside. And the reason why we have to say such an interesting case is not to break the words of Rabbi Yochanan, which we find that he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Yet on the other hand, we know that he says the halacha is like Stam Mishnah, and that Mishnah sounds like not like Rabbi Yehuda. So to resolve that contradiction, we have to say that Stam Mishnah obviously is talking about a case when there's four ears, four strap holders, and therefore we're talking about when we say both, it means both of the outside, and it's just enough for the outside to tear, and with that alone it will be tar. So on this theme, the Gemara brings, Kiyasa Ravin Amr of Chanan Bar Abba Amr Rav, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda that if just the outside straps rip, it's going to be considered tar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan says no, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. If the outside one's just tear, it's still going to be tummy because you could switch it to the other foot, which now it'll be on the inside, and therefore people will fix that and still consider sandal. To which the Gemara asks, Well, me, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. From the fact Rabbi Yochanan comes to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which we had on Oman Alf in the Braisa, obviously from the fact that he tries to explain his opinion by saying, oh, from the fact that this is what he holds by Tumah, same thing he holds regarding Shabbos, however, for Chalitza, not like that. Obviously, he holds like him, because why is he going the length to explain his opinion? Yet, so we see he does like hold like him, and yet here he's saying that he doesn't hold like him. And that the Gemara says, that is a machlikis amiram in the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who he held like. That is Rabbi Barachana had said the one on Amid Aleph, and this one is being said by Ravin, and yes, they argue in his opinion regarding what the halacha is, if the halacha is like a Behuda, regarding the atzei strap of sandals or not. So now regarding sandalim, regarding these sandals, the Gemara continues and brings Tanan Hasim. We learned over there in the Mishnah. Kol kli balibatim, all the vessels of a homeowner, and this is again regarding the wooden vessels, and this is the Mishnah of what in Masechtas Kelim that it says, Shi'uran kirimayim, the measurements of a regular vessel of a homeowner, the measurement is the size of a pomegranate. That is, if to be metarit, to purify it from the tumah that it has, to make it not a kli anymore, has to be that it has a hole the size of a pomegranate. But if the hole is smaller than that, then people they still care about their vessels, then they won't negate the vessel just because it has a hole. It'll still use it for something that could stay in such small holes. But once it has the hole of a pomegranate, then it's not a kli anymore and it's tar. So Boy Chizki asked the following question. Nikiv kamaitzi zayis usasmai. If the person had a kli, a vessel, and they got a hole the size of an olive, and then they closed it up, right? It's still considered a kli because it didn't have such a large hole, so he closed it up. Then again, they got another hole the size of an olive, right next to the first hole which he had closed up. And then they closed up this hole. Until he completed it with all the stemis, all the plastering, closing up the holes. Now, there were so many small little holes near each other, and he closed them all, but now the filling is the size of a pomegranate. So what is the halacha? In other words, do you say that now once it got the size of a hole, although it's closed up, but it's not that clean anymore, and therefore it should be tahar? So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said to Chizkiah that asked this question, Rabbi, our teacher, Shanisalanu, you already explained this halacha to us elsewhere, because you told us as follows. Sandal shenifzika achas mi aznav v'tikna tamim medras. You told us that if you have a sandal that one of the ears tore off, and then he fixed that ear, so it still retains the tummy of medras. It didn't lose the status because one of the ears tore off, and therefore it's still the tummy of the medras from the zav that pushed his weight onto this sandal. However, nifzika shniya v'tikna tar min the medras. But you told us that if the second ear tore off and then he fixed it, then it's going to be tar from the medras. Aval tummy maga medras, but it still will retain the tummy of touching a medras because it touched itself and it always had halacha of a shoe. But the original shoe, since you had to fix both ears, that already is not there anymore, and therefore it's not going to have the medras, the ava tummy that it had originally from the zav. Varmin halacha, we told you, maishna rishon the hakai mishniya. Now, what is the difference between the two cases? Why is it by the first one that we say that if the first ear tore off, we say that it's still going to be tummy of medras because you still have the second ear? When the second ear tears off, you still have the first one because the first one was fixed by the time the second one tore off. And therefore, it never lost its status of a shoe. So why do you say that by the case of when both ears tear off, that there it's going to be tar of a midras, but when the second one tore off, there was still one left because it had already fixed the first one that tore off. So why is it tummy of a midras? It's the same thing as when the first one tore off, that it's still tummy of a midras. And you told us about it. No, there's a big difference. A new face has come over here. That is from when the Tumah of Medrashas had originally come here on this sandal. Now a whole new face is here. This is not the original sandal that was here because it was already ruined and enough to negate it. Because both of the sandals came off. Now that when you're doing the second ear, that when that tears off, there's a first ear, but that's a first ear of a new shoe. It's like taking off all the parts and putting it back together again. It's not the old shoe, although all the pieces are here. However, you already had redone. You put on so many pieces, like a car that gets in an accident. You put on a door, and then you put on another door, and then you put on the hood with all these different accidents. It's not the original car that was there. It's a whole new car. And therefore, it's not going to be a tummy from the medrash anymore, in spite of the fact that you still have a first one when the second one's being tore off. So therefore, he told his Rabbi Chizkiah, Hachanami Panim Chadash Balkan. Here also, it's a new face. That is, although that when the last hole comes, it's just a hole the size of an olive, and therefore that shouldn't negate the vessel and to say that it's tar. But however, if you put all of them together, now this hole, this seal is the size of a pomegranate. So now, although it's still a vessel when you have the last hole, but it's a new vessel. And therefore, that should undo the original tumah and say that it's going to be tahar because it has a hole the size of a pomegranate in spite of the fact that it's filled. So kari lei, so Chizkiah said about his student Rabbi Yochanan, less than bar inish. This is not a person. Rather, he's a malach, he's an angel, to come up with such an understanding, a depth of learning, to say that you're right, although that it should be tameh because it's only the hole the size of an olive, but he compared it to the other halacha where although that when you rip the second one, the first one is still there, but it's a whole new sandal, and therefore we can't have the tumah of the old sandal here, in spite of the fact that it's in the same area. So this is not a person, this is a malach. Some say that he said as follows, that this is a person, that he's a real person, he's a real man, everyone else is not even a real person. As the Gemara brings, if the previous generations were the sons of angels, that they were angels, we're men, we're mere mortals. And if the previous generations were men, we're like donkeys, we're not even men. And that's what he was trying to say, that this is a real man. And the Gemara says even more, and we're not even on the level of being the donkey of like the donkey of Reb Chanina ben Deisa and Reb Pinchas ben Yair, which the Gemara brings in elsewhere in places in Shas, that we find that even the donkeys didn't want to do something usher of eating from untied produce or doing something that's usher to do regarding halacha. We're even a donkey like other donkeys, we're not even on the status of being like the donkeys of tzaddikim. That's the same thing that he was saying, that this is a real man, that only the previous generations were angels or men, and we're either men or even donkeys, and not even like the donkeys of tzaddik. So we continue discussing the Mishnah of items that we're allowed to tie and untie in Shabbos because they have no resemblance to kesher shel kayama, to eternal not at all, which is benoidus yain v'shemen, and the flasks of wine and oil, which that you're allowed to tie. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, it's pretty obvious. What do you mean? It's not there to stay forever. It's like a canteen to open and close and to be able to drink from it. So why would I think that it's us to say that it's mutar l'ketchila? And then the Gemara says, loy tzricha, the islay tarti uni. We're talking about a flask that has two ears that are folded into the inside of the flask. And with one of them, you could take out the wine from it. And you don't have to open the other one. So I would have thought that one of them you'll leave there, you'll keep it totally closed. I don't have to open up the whole thing, just a little bit. And therefore, it should be considered kesher shel kayama. Kamash one of them, no. That when a person likes to drink from a flask, he's going to open up all of them, both of them, and therefore, it's not a kesher shel kayama, and it's mutter to do even like a tchila. So the Mishnah continued and concluded that kadeir shel basar, a pot of meat, is also mutter to tie the knot on it. It's obvious what I mean. The pot, you just tie it on, but you have to open and close to put the food in, take the food out. And then the Gemara says, Lo yitzricha d'islei shlocha. We're talking about a pot that has a spout. Ma'ad tamei betulim avtula. I would have thought that, then you'll keep the knot on top of the mouth of the pot. And what you have to take out, you'll take out through the spout. And therefore, it should be considered kesher shel kayama. Kamash from the know that when people want to take out the food, they're not going to try to stick it out through the spout. They'll open it up and take out the food the normal way, and that's why it's mutter even a ketchila. So then the Mishnah said, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, said it also, you allowed to tie a knot in front of the animal by the width of the opening to tie the animal in. That's also considered a kesher that's not shel kayama because then you open it and close it so the animal could go in and out. To which Gemara says, Pshita, what I mean, it's obvious. It's also like all the other cases that there's no reason, you're not leaving it there for an extended period of time. And that the Gemara says, Loi tzricha dis loi tarti isri. It's necessary for a case where there are two knots. That means there's two strings, two ropes that you're tying in the width of the opening, one on top of the other. Or another version Rashi says, is two knots that it was tied today on the two sides of the opening, and which wasn't tied there before. And therefore, Madatim, what would I have thought? We continue on to the top of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. That one of them that you will leave over there, that one of the heads that are there by the posts, the opening of the stall or whatever it is, that you're going to leave it there and then you'll just tie on the other one. So therefore that knot is meant to leave there. Or according to the other version, it means that you leave on one of the ropes, one on top of the other, you leave the upper one and have the animals stick out under the bottom one and squeeze it out through the bottom one and you leave the top rope up there. Kamash one, they know that when you want to let your animal in and out, you'll take off both of them. And similarly, you won't just open one of the sides, you'll open both of them and you'll take it off. And therefore, it's mutter even like a tchila. So on this, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kabbalah ben Yaakov, Halacha Falz Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that you're allowed to also tie the knots in front of the animal to keep the animal in, that he shouldn't come out. Somali Abaya, Halacha Mechal de Pligi. What do you mean? When you're saying the Halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which makes it sound like that others argue on him. And that why would anyone else argue on him? It's just like the other cases of the Mishnah, which spoke about the opening of the woman's shirt with her straps and the shoelaces. That these are things that people always open and close, and therefore, like the pot of meat and the flask of wine, there's no reason to say that it's even Patr Av Elazar. It's Mutzlik Etchila, because it's meant to open and close all the time. Here also by the animal, you're letting him in, you're letting him out. Why would I say that others would argue in him to say that Halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So Amalei, my nafki lach minas. He says, so what does it bother you? So fine, so no one argues. But I'm just telling you that Halacha follows like him, that and maybe everyone else agrees to him. So Amalei said to him, wait a second. Gemara, Gemara is immortal today. I shall learn the tradition that should be like to me like a song that I shouldn't understand. It makes a difference. We have to know that if there is a machlekes or not, and even if you're saying the Halacha follows like that, it's important to know the tradition about what exactly the opinions were. And that's why I'm asking, why are you saying Halacha like is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Because it sounds like you're trying to say that the others argue, and why would anyone argue? Because it's the same as all the other cases of the Mishnah, which are meant to be open and closed all the time, and therefore has no resemblance at all to a Keshe Shokiyama, and that's what's going to be Mutlik Etchila according to everybody.